from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, the baseless impeachment, Bible verses on dog tags, and the Uyghur Act of 2019. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. This week, the House Judiciary Committee heard from constitutional scholars about impeachment, and then Nancy Pelosi called for articles of impeachment to be drawn up, without having heard a single piece of firsthand evidence that the president did anything wrong. Joining Family Research Council President Tony Perkins to talk about the Democrats' plan to move forward with impeachment is Representative Mark Green of Tennessee.
Congressman Green, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Glad to be on the show. Good to hear your voice again.
Well, let's just start. I got another short clip I want to play of Nancy Pelosi this morning as she, kind of in a dramatic fashion announced that there was the impeachment articles were going to be drawn up and they were going to proceed. Let's listen to this clip and I'm going to get your response to it.
In signing the Declaration of Independence, our founders invoked a firm reliance on divine providence. Democrats, too, are prayerful. And we will proceed in a manner worthy of our oath of office to support and defend the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic. So help us God.
Well, it certainly sounds nice and reassuring, but anything but based upon the actions that the Democratic majority is taking in the House.
Yeah, it's pretty insane if you look at it. I mean, she accused the president basically of trying to be a king. And then, of course, everyone knows that she leveraged the entire U.S. House of Representatives for 35 days without even taking a vote. I mean, she initiated an impeachment of the president of the United States on her own as if she was, I guess, some kind of queen. I don't know. But it's just insane. The hypocrisy is unfathomable. And these witnesses that were in the hearings yesterday, the blatant bias is it's not a secret to anyone. All of them are the three that were brought by the Democrats anyway are totally opposed to the president from the very beginning. It's impossible to separate their bias from their comments, and I'm very frustrated. I'm disappointed. You know, Speaker Pelosi at the beginning of this year had said, oh, well, we won't do this on a bipartisan. When you take the country down that path, it needs to be a partisan. There needs to be proof, real evidence. And we don't have any proof at all. What we've got is this Mr. Sondland presuming that the president had, ill intent or quid pro quo or whatever. But we know that's not true because even the Ukrainians didn't even know there was a quo. They didn't know the money had been stopped. So it's ridiculous. It's a farce. It's a sham. Very frustrating and disappointing.
Now, Congressman, you mentioned the three Democratic witnesses, law professors that were there yesterday that were urging the Democrats to move forward with impeachment, one of them having worked in the Obama administration. So clearly
right.
Not individuals who were, nonpartisan in their approach. Now, the one candidate, the one law professor, I should say, from the Republican side, actually not a conservative,
right.
Jonathan Turley of George Washington University, who, if I'm not mistaken, I think back when Bill Clinton was in office, a supporter of Bill Clinton, if I'm not mistaken, but I could be wrong on that. But he's clearly not a card-carrying Republican.
Right.
Probably just
not even a Trump supporter, actually.
Right. And he warned lawmakers not to rush into impeachment, explaining that a stronger foundation was needed to take such a drastic step, and cautioned him to think about the repercussions of this, the unintended consequences in years to come. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. The best quote from Mr. Turley that I heard was something along the lines of, "This will be the first impeachment in the history of the United States without compelling evidence of a crime." So we're moving down a pathway because really they just don't like the guy's policies. And if you look at the testimony that occurred in the Intelligence Committee from Lieutenant Colonel Vindman and those folks, it's pretty clear that these are bureaucrats who disagreed with the president's policy on how to handle Ukraine and basically ignored it and did their own thing. So it's almost as if these bureaucrats seem to think that the 63 million people who elected this president to determine the foreign policy of the United States, they're irrelevant. We know better. We're smarter than everybody else, and we're going to proceed this way. I just think it's unconscionable.
Now, I recall, because I've been around now for a while, when during the Obama years that, you know, there were those that were at some various points in his administration, which was characterized consistently by lawlessness, that there were those that were on the right talking about impeachment and never went anywhere because there were concerns about, you know, that has to be taken up. That tool, if you will, of government is kind of in a locked box put away for, you know, the high crimes and misdemeanors, a very rare occurrence because it would damage our republic. Are you concerned about the long-term ramifications of what we may be seeing, what's playing out right now?
In some sense I am, but I kind of think of our side of the aisle as sort of above this. I don't, you know, people have said, well, what happens when a Democrat president's in office? Now the Republicans can just disagree with the president and attempt impeachment. I think we're better than that. I don't think we will do that. So my fear is not that next time when there's a Democrat in the office that we're going to respond in this way. I don't see it. I certainly hope not.
Well, you know, I don't necessarily disagree with you. I would say that what I see, though, is as a lowering of the standard or a redefining of the terms, and that's my bigger concern. Just like, you know, go over to the Senate for a moment and changing the rules. You know, those rules were sacrosanct. You didn't touch the rules. They were forever there. But then, you know, we saw the Democrats change them. Then the Republicans, once that threshold had been crossed, they changed them. Not that I'm taking issue with this. I'm just using it as an example.
Right.
But I think that redefining, which is what their actions are doing when it comes to high crimes and misdemeanors by moving forward with this, is a redefinition of terms. And I do think that there is the risk there of using this as a political tool, which is actually what is happening right now.
Right. And I agree that there's that possibility, that risk exists. But the American people are clearly rejecting what the Democrats are doing right now. Especially in the swing states where it really matters for the future, politically at least. And I think if we were to do this, if the Republicans were to do this, the American people would reject it with us as well. So maybe it's wishful thinking on my part, but I certainly hope we would never stoop to this level.
Well, you need to stick around a little bit longer. I'm a little more skeptical.
More seasoned than I am. I'm still a freshman, naive, I guess.
What word are you hearing now in terms of the process? Now, as I understand it, they hope to vote this out of the House before you leave for Christmas. Then the Senate taking it up most likely 1st of January. Well, are you hearing anything specific on that?
I think that's the timeline that I'm hearing. I think we vote for impeachment next week. I think between the committee voting on the articles of impeachment and then the House floor, that's going to happen sometime toward the end of next week. We will come back the following week, the week of the 15th, 16th, and we will vote probably, unfortunately, tragically, especially for our military, for a continuing resolution to fund the government. We'll go on Christmas break, and then the Senate will take up the impeachment, whenever Leader McConnell feels it's appropriate. The ball will clearly be in their court in January.
Congressman Green, what I'm hearing, and I'd be interested in what you're hearing and seeing, but based on my conversations, it appears to me that this process, if you want to call it a process, I use that term loosely, but what the Democrats have engaged in here in the last few weeks has actually solidified the Republican support for the president. I mean, I think that they see this for what it is, and they are standing with the president against this sham process to simply avoid 63 million votes and remove this president.
If you look at the statistics that just the president has tweeted out recently, it was probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, he tweeted out 87% support amongst Republicans. And I think it was either yesterday or today, he tweeted out 97% support or 95% support amongst Republicans. So obviously, even in the numbers that they're looking at, the needle's moved from 87% to 95%. So absolutely, they are solidifying Republicans against, you know, for in support of the president and against this insane process.
Well, Congressman, as always, great to talk with you. Appreciate you coming on today. And obviously, we'll be watching this into next week as the vote takes place in the House and then is punted over to the Senate. So thanks so much, Congressman Green, for being with us.
Thanks, Tony, for having me on the show. And thanks for standing for family values and for our country. Really appreciate you guys.
You can find out more about Mark Green, as well as explore FRC's Biblical Worldview series, when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, sign up for Tony's daily update. It's an email we send out sharing what's going on in Washington, D.C. that impacts your faith, family, and freedom. Our website is TonyPerkins.com. That's TonyPerkins.com.
Black Hawk Down Commander and 3-star Army General Jerry Boykin has a word for men.
I'm no different than you are. I've been through the same struggles you've been through. I've made the same stupid mistakes and decisions that you've made. I've lost my faith and regained it. I've struggled. I've asked God why. And I've dealt with every issue you've dealt with. There's no difference between me and you, men. I'm not very religious. My faith is about my relationship with Jesus Christ. I've walked with him now for over 40 years, and I've learned a lot, and I want to share some of that with you.
Hello, this is Jerry Boykin, Executive Vice President of Family Research Council. If you're struggling with what it means to be a godly man, we're here to help you. Our Stand Courageous Men's Conferences offer biblical solutions to the crisis of manhood in today's culture. Check out standcourageous.com for an event in your area.
What is the Bible's stance on religious liberty? In FRC's new publication titled Biblical Principles for Religious Liberty, Evidence from Scripture and Church History, author David Clawson addresses this question by presenting key biblical and theological arguments for why religious liberty is worth defending and encourages Christians to stand up for America's first freedom. Learn more by visiting frc.org/belief.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Mikey Weinstein and his Military Religious Freedom Foundation is at it again, this time demanding that Bible verses no longer be allowed to be printed on soldiers' dog tags by a nonprofit, even though they don't charge for this service. Joining FRC President Tony Perkins to talk about this move is the Chief of Staff for First Liberty Institute, Michael Berry.
All right, Mikey Weinstein, popping up again, founder and president of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, is complaining about these dog tags. What's his beef?
Well, they're perpetually offended. Mikey Weinstein has complained that our client, First Liberty Institute's client, Shields of Strength, and its founder and president, Kenny Vaughn, that he makes and distributes and in many cases gives away, donates out of his own pocket, these replica dog tags that just have an inspirational or motivational or encouraging reference to scripture, or sometimes it'll just be literally the words without any reference to scripture. But apparently, according to Mikey, you know, no good deed goes unpunished, and he wants the military to go after our client and to prevent them from being able to do that.
Now, just so I'm clear on this, what we're talking about, these dog tags that are made by a nonprofit, the issue is that the dog tags have the emblem of the military branch of service, as I understand it, which is requires a trademark licensing from the branch of service. And what they're saying is you can't put a Bible verse if you have that trademark logo on the dog tag. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, for example, on one side of the replica dog tag, it might have Semper Fi with an eagle, globe, and anchor, which is, you know, kind of the common, commonly used emblem for the Marine Corps. And on the other side, it might have a reference to, you know, Philippians 4:13, right? And it just said, I can do all things through he who gives me strength, or Joshua 1:9. Those are some of the more common references. And those are just uplifting, encouraging, inspirational verses. And, you know, but like I said, Mikey Weinstein seems to think, wrongly, but seems to think that that violates the Constitution and that the Army should, you know, should sue or take legal action against our client, Shields of Strength.
Now, he has made over 4 million dog tags with these scriptures on. In fact, I think I actually have one. This is not being paid for by the government. This is not government money. It is simply a nonprofit doing it that has the trademark license approval to have that emblem on there. So there's no money here. There's nothing that's, that the government is doing. So what ground does Mikey have to say that these dog tags can't be produced and voluntarily worn by our members of the military?
Oh, he has no ground to do that. It's really nothing more than a publicity stunt. Well, actually, it is more than a publicity stunt. It's a cowardly act because Kenny Vaughn and I have met now many service members, in many instances, Gold Star families, those who have lost loved ones in combat, serving in the military. And to them, these small tokens of faith and military service mean the world. And to deprive them or other families of the ability to have a small token of faith and military service is just the deepest insult you can imagine. And they tell us in tears, you know, how dare they deprive or deny somebody the ability to have just a dog tag that says, I can do all things. And on the other side, it says, you know, U.S. Army or U.S. Air Force or whatever. It's a cowardly act by Mikey Weinstein, and at First Liberty Institute, I can barely take it anymore. And I said to Kenny, we won't stop until we're able to make sure that you are allowed to continue to provide these. And like you said, he's produced almost 5 million of these now over the years, and he's given away approximately 2 million of those 5 million.
Now the. In response to Weinstein, the Army Trademark Licensing Program Director, Paul Jensen, wrote to your client in August saying, quote, you are not authorized to put Bible verses on your Army products. Now, what this sounds like to me, Michael, is that what we have are a lot of this holdover ideology from the Obama administration of hostility toward religious expression in the military, and it needs to be cleaned up.
That's right. I mean, even more telling on that email, Tony, was the subject line of the email. The subject line said negative press. And then they cited, they attached the URL to an article highlighting Mikey Weinstein's complaint to the Army. So clearly their motivation for telling Kenny Vaughn to stop producing these dog tags was simply the fact that Mikey Weinstein had generated some negative publicity and generated a little bit of heat on the Army, and they immediately raised the white flag and capitulated to that bully. And it's like you said, I mean, enough is enough. You know, when are we,
right.
When are people in the Department of Defense going to realize that the Constitution, the First Amendment specifically, and federal law, such as the Religious Freedom Restoration Act and other laws, they have to mean something, and those don't stop at the Pentagon's front door.
Yeah, this is the one area in this administration. They've almost every agency has come into alignment with the White House's Religious Freedom Protection Initiatives. The one area that still is lagging behind is the Department of Defense, and it's I'm glad that First Liberty is there you guys are on this because it needs to be cleaned up. Michael Berry, thanks so much for joining us today. And as always, appreciate the great work you guys do.
Thanks for having me.
You can find out more about Mike Berry and First Liberty Institute when you head over to tonyperkins.com. In the meantime, while you're there, you could see about joining us next June for a special trip to Israel. You could join Tony Perkins and his wife, Lawana, General Jerry Boykin, and former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann on an exciting and educational trip to the Holy Land. All of the details are there at our website, tonyperkins.com.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, president of Family Research Council. The culture does not have the last word on true masculinity. God does. What does real manhood look like? You won't find it on the cover of a magazine, but you'll find it in the pages of Scripture. Join us in our Stand Courageous Men's Conferences as we seek to help men develop character, cultivate habits, build relationships, and make commitments that will move them closer to God's design for men. To find a Stand Courageous conference near you, go to StandCourageous.com. That's StandCourageous.com.
Are you a parent of a school-aged child? Then check out Family Research Council's new publication titled The SPLC's Teaching Tolerance: What Parents, Teachers, and Administrators Need to Know. This resource helps parents identify the radically progressive agendas being pushed on their children by the Southern Poverty Law Center. FRC's brochures outlines the content within the SPLC's Teaching Tolerance Project that undermines Christian values about marriage and family. Learn more at frc.org/teachingtolerance.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. You've heard us talk about the Uyghur Muslims in China that are being rounded up and placed in concentration camps by the Chinese government. Well, this week, the House of Representatives took action and overwhelmingly passed the Uyghur Act of 2019. And joining FRC President Tony Perkins to discuss this legislation and the impact on China is Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri.
Senator, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks for having me.
You were a sponsor of the Senate version of this bill. The House version, a bit different. It looks actually a little stronger than the Senate version. But in essence, explain very quickly to our listeners what the bill will do.
Well, it's important to give the administration tools to hold Beijing accountable for what it's doing to the Uyghurs. And, you know, what the Uyghurs are, your audience probably knows, are an ethnic minority, a religious minority living within China. And Beijing is literally putting these people into concentration camps. I mean, I don't use that term lightly, but that's what they are. They're actual concentration camps. They're doing brainwashing in these camps. They call it re-education, of course. We've all heard that before. And this is the Communist Party attempting to enforce to shove down the throats of these people their ideology. And this is an expression. I mean, the bill in the House and in the Senate versions would give the administration the ability to stand up to this. And it also expresses the sense of the United States Congress that this is not something that we can allow to happen. And Tony, I think it's have a piece with the work we've done on Hong Kong, where it's vital to say to Beijing that oppressing your own people, that stamping out faith, that going after people of faith and ethnic minorities is not permissible. We won't allow it. And that their desire to dominate, China's desire to dominate the world, is not something we're going to stand by and watch happen.
Senator, do you think the Senate will work out the differences with the House and will get this bill signed into law before Christmas?
I don't know if it'll happen before Christmas. I hope so. I am frustrated at the pace at which the Senate moves on a range of fronts, and this is one of them. I'm proud to sponsor the bill, as you said, and I hope that this is something we can take up. Frankly, I think this ought to be something that we do unanimously. I mean, this doesn't need to be a long process, in my view. What we did with the Hong Kong Act, as you and I've talked about a number of times, is eventually we just took it to the floor and we just voted on the floor, and it was unanimous out of the Senate. It passed by unanimous consent, it's called, where nobody even objected to it, so we didn't even have to have a roll call vote. I think we could do the same thing here for the Uyghurs bill. But however it's done, I think it's important to keep the pressure up and to press forward.
Well, your work on Hong Kong, on the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act, drew a quick response from Beijing. They were not happy with that bill. They're rattling the saber again, saying that strong actions will be taken if this one is signed into law. Should we be listening to what China has to say?
No. Beijing is always threatening. They're always saber rattling. But the truth is that we are the ones here who are in the driver's seat. China needs our supply chains. They need our investment. They need our trade. They are not in a position, ultimately, to stand up to us. Now, they want to be. I mean, what they want to do, Tony, as we've talked about, is China, Beijing, wants to dominate first the Asian region, and then they want to dominate the whole world. And they are working hard at that.
Right.
And we've given too much ground over the years. This is part of why we need to stand up now. But we should not listen to a thing that Beijing says. We need to go forward and stand up for our principles and keep the pressure on China.
I was talking before you joined us about how I'm actually encouraged by this administration, even in the midst of trade talks with China, where most run scared, even in Republican ranks in years past and previous administrations, are interjecting these issues right at the forefront, human rights issues, religious freedom issues. And I have to commend the administration that they're leading on this. And it's so good to see Congress in one aspect coming together pretty much unified and standing with the administration on this.
Well, it's great to have an administration that is willing to confront China and is willing to actually stand up and say, we are not going to allow you to continue to take our jobs, to steal our property, and then, as you say, Tony, to run roughshod over the things we value most, like religious freedom, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly, the things that they want to deny Hong Kong, for instance, and what they're trying to do to the Uyghurs and others. So I think that the president's absolutely to be commended. And, we have got to continue to keep the pressure up. We're in for the long struggle here with China. Mm-hmm. We need to be realistic. I mean, this is going to be, they are a threat to us. This is going to go on for years. And we are starting here finally to show some strength, and we've got to keep it up.
Well, this is another good example of how to do that. Senator, thanks so much for joining us, and I appreciate all the work that you do on behalf of religious freedom and human rights around the world, including right here in the United States.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.